So Father God, we thank you that your words are true. We thank you for that reminder of a promise given and a promise that has not been broken. You are the God who is a covenant God, who when you make a promise, you will always be faithful to it. But Lord, as David's prayed, forgive us when we fail to recognize you in that promise. Father God, now as we come to your word, give us ears that are open to hear it, hearts that are wide open to receive it. And Father God, we pray that it would bring us into life and bring us into a renewed relationship with you. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So yet another story about Peter. This time Peter's been in prison. He's already been there before. And what's just happened, though, is that James has just been killed. So as persecution keeps sweeping through the church, we keep seeing this boldness and this determination to keep going. As we looked at when we looked back in Acts chapter 4, when it said in a prayer meeting, Lord, consider their threats against us, give us more boldness and more confidence to preach your word more faithfully. These are people who are on a mission. These are people who understand that something powerful is held within the message that which they proclaim. And even martyrdom isn't something that's going to stop them. They are prepared to live and die for their faith. This isn't about creating nice people with Christianity. This is about creating people who are radically on fire for Jesus. People who don't care whether it even means death to themselves. They will move forward for the things of the gospel. Christianity isn't just a nice way of life. It's a radical way of being. And we forget that in the Western church, where things have become comfortable, where we have sound systems and lighting systems, we have nice chairs to sit on, and it's all okay, we meet in a nice warm building. And yet daily there are people in our world who are being killed for their faith. Who, when faced with death, say, you know what? I will not recount Jesus, because he's my Lord and my Saviour. Even to death, I will worship him. And that's a sobering thought for us, because Christianity, we make it so hard work, don't we? And yet, our lives are not really that difficult compared to what some people have to face and go through. The church has been persecuted. James has been killed. He's been put in prison and brutally killed. And now Peter's in prison facing the same threat. And when the threat comes towards Peter, what does the church do? The church turn to prayer. They turn to praying. Because praying recalibrates your mindset. Prayer changes the way you think. Prayer changes your focus of your life. See, we've been saying, haven't we, in this series in Acts, we've got these verses that I keep going back to. In Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And the verses from James that say, don't just be listeners of God's word, you must do what it says, otherwise you're fooling yourselves. You see, it's all well just to say, I believe in this stuff. But if you don't actually put it into practice, it doesn't actually be something that you're seeking to live by every day. If it's not something you're seeking to be in step with every moment of every minute of every day, it's just pointless. It has no effect. It has no meaning to it. And the book of Acts is saying, church, you've got to live this. These are fishermen who suddenly are now radically changing the world. So Peter's in prison. And the church start praying. Why did they start praying? Have you thought about that? Why did the church start praying? Was it just because that's what we do as Christians, we just pray? You see, we turn to prayer because we believe that there's a hope beyond the situation and the circumstance. That's what we believe in prayer. We believe that prayer has the ability to transform and change a situation that to us doesn't seem changeable. See, what prayer does is prayer establishes our hope. That we have a God who is more powerful and more mighty than our current situation or circumstances would give light to. And so prayer is about being a people of hope. You see, it reminds us of our limited power, and it reminds us of God's ultimate power. And it sets our thinking upon his kingdom, and it directs us in hope. And it says in Hebrews 1:11, verses which are quite familiar if you've been around the church for a while, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." Faith is confidence in what we hope for. So faith is to do with living out our lives according to what our hope is. And in prayer, what we're doing is we're establishing what that hope is about. So prayer is establishing that actually our hope is in a God who is beyond our current situation or circumstance. That's what worship does too. Worship and prayer go hand in hand as being things that recognize that God is bigger than what we are. And when we pray, we are establishing that hope. And hope is the assurance of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. See, we don't wait until we've seen the answer to prayer to then pray. But too many of us, what we want is God to do something for us, and then we'll pray, and then we'll worship him. And God says, no. You see, your life is built upon the hope and the foundation of who you are in Christ, and the truths that go along with that, and all the promises that are given to you. And the Bible is this book full of amazing promises that continually speak about how our God is for us, not against us, how he wants to bless us, how he wants to be with us in every situation. It doesn't say life will be straightforward and easy. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say come to Jesus and your problems will be solved. What it says is, through the problems of life, your God is with you. Your God is able to be in and through that situation, and God is able to do something with it, which he will turn what is evil into something beautiful for his good. And so we've got to be a people who remind ourselves of what our hope is in God. What is our hope? So when you come to pray, you're not just doing your general daily prayers, I pray for so-and-so, Lord, I pray for so-and-so, Lord. What you're doing is saying, I believe there's a hope that God's kingdom is bigger than this. I believe there's a hope which is beyond this situation. And so for the person I'm praying for, what I'm saying is, God, I believe that there's a purpose and a plan for their life which is beyond their current situation and circumstance. So what I'm doing is I'm praying in line with my hope, and that's my faith in action. You see, faith isn't blind. Faith is based upon a hope. And that hope is in Jesus. One of my favorite quotes, which I've shared before, and I love this quote, it sits in my office up on the wall. And it says, "Hope unbelieved is always considered nonsense, but hope believed is history in the process of being changed." I'll leave it up on the screen for you to read, because you need to read that a few times to get your head around it. But what it's trying to say is, if you don't have a belief in a hope, then it won't drive your life. If you haven't got any hope, it won't drive you. But when there's an ounce of belief in a hope that you have, it starts changing how you live your life and brings about a change in history. I was away 2 weeks ago at New Wine, and someone told a story about a person who'd been in prison with Nelson Mandela. And they said, what was the hardest thing about being in prison? And he said, the hardest thing about being in prison was Nelson Mandela. He says, because what he offered me was hope. He offered me hope. He said, the challenge came is when we got out of prison, it was great having hope in prison when you were a slave and when you couldn't do anything. Having hope was great. It got you through each day. But the challenge came when I was set free. I had to put that hope into reality to start building that future South Africa that we'd hoped for and longed for. See, too many of us live in a hope of something that we hope that God's going to do for us. And God's saying, I want to do it with you. And too many of us, we come to the gospel and we hear the fact that actually God set us free. We live this life of freedom. But actually God's saying, what are you now going to do with the hope that I've given you? What are you going to do with that hope? I used to sit there and go, oh, that's nice. Oh, I'm now free. Well, that hope got me into freedom. That's great. Or are you going to go, wow, now that I have this hope of a kingdom which is beyond my understanding, a kingdom where there is love rules and reigns, a kingdom which is where peace and justice rule, am I going to do something about that now? Am I going to start to dare to live that out? To start working towards that kingdom? Am I going to dare to start doing, living that hope? Because basically, that sentence is just, oh, we'll go back to that. Sentence is just the Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. I love it in the King James Version, which says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's saying it's something a bit more meaty. It's got a bit more tangibility to it. It's not just kind of an airy-fairy phrase. It's saying that faith is something tangible which is built upon a hope that you have. And so when we go to the book of Hebrews, and Hebrews 11, which is this great passage on faith, where God says, so faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And then he goes into a big passage, Roger, of Hebrews, about people of faith, one of them being Abraham. And it says for here, Abraham, by faith, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Even though he did not know where he was going, by faith he made his home in the promised land. You see, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And we can quote that verse and go, that's nice, isn't it? But you have to read it, that is the prelude to the whole chapter, which is saying, so what's faith look like? Faith looks like action. People who had a hope in a God, which drove them into action. And faith is the evidence of your hope. That's what faith is. It's not kind of like I believe in Jesus, it's nice. It's evidenced by the way that you live your life. You see, every day you'll probably make yourself some food, or someone will make you some food, and you sit down at the dinner table, and then you eat the food, and probably never for a moment do you think, this could be poisoned. That probably doesn't cross your mind. Maybe for some of you, it does. But because you've learned that actually it's going to be fine. But that is an action of faith. You're hoping that the food's going to be fine. That's your assumption. It's fine. And the evidence of your faith in the food being fine is the fact that you actively eat the food. You don't sort of think, let me just test it first. Let me just try it out. You just go for it. You see, we make actions of faith every single day. Faith isn't this kind of weird, crazy spiritual concept which is really hard to get your head around. It's really simple. You make decisions of faith every single day. If you drive and you get in the car, your hope is the fact that other people will obey the same rules that you're obeying, i.e. they'll stay on their side of the road. Because if you think about it, we drive around in metal boxes that are divided by a white line painted on the road. It's not very safe. But because we have the assumption of hope, the fact that other people will do the same thing we're doing, our faith is, I get in the car, I drive on the left side of the road, and I go for it. Never do I think that a car might suddenly swerve onto my lane. I just go for it. You see, we make actions of faith every single day. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the things that you know to be true. You might not have seen it yet, but you still live by it. And this is what's going on in this passage with Peter, is Peter has a vision of God. God comes to him. There's a calling upon his life. Again, we've been talking about calling and about visions these last few weeks. And here, again, the writer of Acts, Luke, is saying to us his constant story of saying, you're people who are called to follow a vision of God, and that directs your life. That's what he's saying. Peter is in prison. He's in chains. And God turns up in his situation, calls him out of that situation. But for him to be called out of that situation, he has to follow. He has to choose to let freedom happen to him. He has to choose to follow. And I love it when it gets to that point where it says, they get to the doors of the city, and it says they just flung open. And we've had that word, didn't we, given a few weeks back from Julia about the need to open up the doors. Open up the doors and let heaven reign. Let heaven be open to our lives. They get to the doors, and it opens up. But you see, he chose to follow. As in following, and it's in actions of faith that we see God move and God work. See, when it says you need faith as small as a mustard seed, it's not saying you need to sort of go, I need some faith. What it's saying is, if you just dare to trust God, and you demonstrate that by an action of obedience, and that can be as simple as just praying. Praying is saying, God, I believe. It's an action of faith, saying, I believe you can change this. It couldn't be a little move that God's calling you to do, saying, God says, just go and talk to that person. It could be God saying, go and pray for that person. See, the reason, I've said this before, the reason why I pray for people who are sick It's because my assumption and hope is that of a kingdom where everything is as it should be. My hope is a God who can heal, a God who can reign, a God who can rule. Whether someone gets better or not, it's not down to me, that's down to God. But how faith is at work there, it's not saying, if I have enough faith, then someone will be healed. And there's that horrible, you know, health and wealth prosperity gospel that talks about how, if you just have enough faith, then God will bless you. And it makes some faith being some sort of ethereal thing. Faith is substance. And it's substance of the hope that we have in Jesus. And how it's lived out is by actions of obedience. Actions of fellowship. Following Jesus. See, we are on a journey together as Christian believers. It's not just random, kind of, I'm now a Christian, lovely. It's something we actively participate in day by day. We are on a journey of following, which means that we will have to be moving, not static and still. As soon as you become static in your Christian life, you start withering and dying. But every day is a choice to follow Jesus, to be active in faith, to say, God, I'm going to choose to live my life according to the hope that I have, and how that hope is demonstrated in faith is the fact that I'm choosing to follow you, regardless of not necessarily knowing what the outcome's going to be. There's that old story that people have said for years about salvation, and about a swimming pool. It's like being on a diving board. It's been said here lots of times for lots of us. About how faith is like being on a diving board, looking down into an empty pool with no water, and God says, jump. And you go, no. When you fill the pool with water, then I'll jump. And God says, no, jump and I'll fill the pool with water. See, faith is being prepared to do something, even if it sometimes seems ludicrous, and looking at how God beautifully works in that situation. God loves working with people of faith because he's saying, because you've got the foundation of hope, I know that when I call you, you'll be obedient to me. So why am I talking about all this stuff in the passage about Peter in prison? Well, because here in Hebrews 11:8, it talks about how Abraham, by faith, he had a hope that God had called him, that when called to go, went to a place he later received as his inheritance. He didn't know where he was going to. We often don't know where we're going, but we just know that God's got a plan. He chooses to go, even though he doesn't know where he's going to, he chooses to go anyway, but actually the place that he's walking into is the place of his inheritance. And it says that he obeyed and went. He didn't say, well, God, give me a map, show me exactly where it's going to go, how it's going to work as a promised land, explain all these things. No. He just says, okay, God, I'm going to go. And the thing about Abraham is, he chose to go when his dad didn't. See, the calling came to his dad. Abraham just fulfilled what his dad should have done. But it says about his dad, camped at Ur and never went forward again to the promised land. It was his dad who was called into the promise. But he never lived it out. He chose to stop and be still and be stuck. Abraham chose to go and live out that promise. He chose to walk, not knowing where he's going to end up necessarily, but he chose to say, there's a place I'm going to, which I'm going to actively choose to walk into in obedience to God. And that word obey there is a brilliant word. So I'm going to get all Greek on you. So this word here is just beautiful in the Greek. Hupakou, apparently. Hupakou. Which means to listen or hearken to, obey, answer, open, to listen attentively, by implication to heed or to conform to a command or authority. It's saying he chose to obey. He chose to listen to what God had said to him, and he chose to do it. Too many Christians listen to what God has to say, and they don't choose to do it. They go, that's nice. Okay, God, when you fill the swimming pool, I'll then jump. And God's saying, no, listen to my words, do what I say, and look at what I will do. And that is being a people who live in faith, and God works in faith. That's the currency of heaven. That's how heaven works. If you want to see more exciting things take place in your life, just dare to start walking into the things of Jesus. It's terrifying, but it's awesome. And God opens up doors. And that's why this passage is really important, because here it says, this word can mean to answer or to open. And it's the same word that's used in Acts 12. It talks about Rhoda opening the door to Peter. You see, when we choose to be obedient to Jesus and we choose to step out in faith, it's like a door being opened. And see, many of us live looking at all these doors in our life which just aren't open. And God's saying, just open it. Open it. You won't know what's behind the door until you open the door. You won't know what's going to be there. You won't know what it is until you open the door. And what faith is saying is, I don't know what's on the other side of the door, but I know God's in it. And so my action of faith is to open the door and walk through into whatever God's got for me. It's an open door. Will we be a people of faith who choose to open doors? Too many of us wait for God to do all the opening. God, do it for me. And God's saying, just open a door. Step into the things of faith. Faith is an action of obedience. It's not an ethereal, spiritual concept. Open the door. We've had that word come to us these last few weeks about being a people who open the door, clear away the things that are getting in the way of opening the door. Clear away the things in your life that are stopping you from being obedient to Jesus. Things that are stopping you stepping out for him. That are stopping you opening that door of faith and saying, God, whatever is next, I'm going to walk into it. Even though I'm not sure what it is, I choose to follow you into it. And so just one last example of what faith looks like. I want to just end with something that you can take away with you in this week. Because all of us probably use money. All of us probably use cash at some point. You see, and faith is a bit like this. On a banknote, it has these words, I promise to pay the bearer the sum of ... pounds. A banknote has absolutely no value to it whatsoever. No value to it at all. Its value is based upon the promise that it gives you. That's where its value comes from. Its value is not in the paper. It doesn't mean anything at all. It's based upon the promise that it gives you. It gives you the promise that this is worth a promise of X amount of money. Basically, it's an IOU. That's what a banknote has on it. That the chief cashier of the Bank of England will pay you the amount of pounds that that banknote is apparently worth. It's worth the promise that it is. But equally, that banknote only comes into play, that promise only comes into play when it's actively used in a transaction. When it's actively used, that's when that promise comes into function. If it's just sitting in your wallet or sitting in your purse, that promise has no relevance whatsoever on your life. It only comes to bear when it's actively used. Actually, when you participate in a transaction of money, does then suddenly that promise become real. It becomes the rubber hits the road when you go to a cashier and say, here's the money, and they go, oh, thank you very much. You can now swap that in exchange for something else. And what faith is doing is saying, I recognize that I have a promise that has worth that only comes into its fullness of being when I actively use it in transactions, i.e. when I choose to pray for people in faith. What am I doing? I'm activating the promise of God in my life. It's like using a £10 note to buy something. You're saying, I'm actively choosing to cash in the promise and saying, God, I'm going to use this promise that you've given me in faith, and I'm going to actively participate in that. Well, that's what faith is. Based upon a hope that we have. And so for all of you this week, when you're going about your business, and if you use cash at all, maybe it's all chip and pin these days, if you have a banknote, just remember that when you go through a transaction, that is like an action of faith. Because ultimately, it still has no value to it. Its value is based solely in the promise. Even for the person who's received it from you in a transaction, that it's the promise that gives it value. It's the hope that it has. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. A banknote has its worth. It's the substance of what its promised is. And that's what faith is about. It's saying there's a hope that has value and worth, but it only has any meaning in my life when I actively use it. You see, Christianity is not a belief system. It's not just some beliefs that you live by. It's a lifestyle of transformation for Jesus. And we are only transformed and changed when we actively choose to let God transform our lives. It says in Philippians 2:12, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When Paul says, as you've always obeyed, it's the same word. It's that hapaku word, which is saying, as you've always responded to the call of God and been obedient to listen to what he has to say to do, continue doing that. And do that as you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He's saying, actions of obedience lead to life transformation. And then when you're struggling in your life, you can look back over your life and go, ah, God came through here, didn't he? Remember that moment when God came through for me? Oh yeah, and there's that place there as well where God came through for me. And there's that place there. Which is why God's always saying to the Israelites, remember what I've done for you. Remember how faith worked before? Let faith work that way now. So faith is about being a people who recognize what our hope is, always call ourselves back to that hope, and prayer is a great way of doing that, directing us back to hope. And when our hope is re-established, it allows us to take steps of actions of faith. And when we take an action and a step of faith, it will transform your life. Don't let your Christianity just be being a nice person. Don't let your Christianity just be a belief system. Let your Christianity be about being a follower of Jesus, which transforms you in the process of transforming the world. God is desperate to use us to do radical, crazy things for him. We'll be a people who step out in faith, recognize that the promise we have in God has so much worth. Let's use our faith in the hope that we have in Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that when faith is active, it opens up the possibilities of brand new doors. Lord, it opens up new possibilities. When faith is activated, according to our hope, doors fling wide. Father God, give us courage, give us boldness, as Acts keeps reminding us and telling us, to be a people who step out in faith, assured of the hope that we have in you, even though we don't see it yet. Father God, let's be a people who actively choose to participate in hope. Be a people of faith. Be a people who activate our faith by obedient living to your call and your way. For God, we know that when faith is activated, that's when heaven reigns. Bless this word into our hearts, we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.